Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and welcome to the Blessings of Christ on this 25th day of February. Oh, my goodness. My goodness. You know, if it wasn't such a short month, I'd say we have a week left, but, you know, we're drawing to a close. And you know what else is going to happen soon? And that is the spring equinox. Sometimes it doesn't feel much like spring on the middle of March, but I kind of think in some places at least it will this year. I think that the earth is wanting to get back into a growth mode right now. I really feel that strongly, and I think that she's going to hold back some of her Arctic air so that we can get started. And wow, that will feel so good, at least to us. I hope the little animals are ready, but the trees are already blooming out here. So that part of nature is pumping up and getting ready. So welcome, everyone, and I'm so glad you're here. We look forward to every Sunday being with you and just want to express how much we love you and how important it is to those of us here and I think all of our members around the world, just cherish this community because we hold the best for each other. And you know what, everybody? We could do that for the world. It just, that's what the apostles went out. You know, they actually didn't go out to preach. Not at all. For one good reason is that they were really all working from the Old Testament, from the standpoint of the foundation of the religion. And Yeshua did not come to revise or upgrade the religion. He said that's not why he came. He came to create a new connection of love among us all and a restoration of our connection with God. And so what the apostles called their message was good news. That's what gospel means, good news. So they went out to the world to tell the good news. What if we just told the good news? Can you imagine the difference that would make in our world today? We just go out and tell the good news that some people are just gaining spontaneous healing. They're gaining awareness of who they really are. And all these other debates about identity are irrelevant because we're really learning who we are and our place in the universe. And we're finding about new methods of connecting and new ways of putting up an infrastructure that can't be brought down ever. Just think about what a difference that would make. And I think if we were doing that, people would want to listen to the news. They would look forward to it. Well, that's what we like to do here on Sunday. So we invite all of you to bring your good news. Blessings you've received, important information you've learned that could just bring joy to the hearts of your other community members. And the needs you have that you trust in telling us because you know that we care about you and we will hold your needs in trust and convey them in the best possible way to our Heavenly Father, Yeshua, the angels, all of our guardians that want nothing but the best for us. So this is a time when you really can bring out your good linens. You can set your table with the best dishes because you're in the company of people who genuinely respect you and genuinely want the best for you. So let's, and speaking of good company, Nancy is with us here again. So we're so glad to have you, Nancy.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to be here. Hi, everyone. I know what
and
you hear. Go ahead.
What?
What did you
no,
say? I'm sorry.
No, we've got them on a Q&A mode, so we can't hear them unless they unmute. But I can feel them. Can't you?
Yes, definitely. And we've got some callers already, too. So
I know. Well, you take over, honey.
Okay. Well, hi, everybody. We're so happy you're here. It is a beautiful day here in Austin. We're feeling that spring possibly coming. So I'm so glad you talked about that because I just like this time of year. It's just wonderful. Look at our community, Jeff. We've got so many here. So let's see. The first caller, let us open you up. We have Vicki. Hi. Can you hear
Hello,
us?
Hello, Nancy. Glenda. Yes. Hi. How are you all today?
We're doing great.
Good. Well, I am too, and I'm calling in again this Sunday to give thanks to our beloved God and Yeshua and all of you in the community. My cousin Clay that had the aortic aneurysm surgery this past Monday, he's doing wonderfully, beyond the schedule the doctors thought, and was even able to go home today.
Wonderful.
And I give thanks for that.
Thanks for sharing. We'd love to hear that.
Yes.
Kind of news.
Yes. We're just, it's just such a relief, and we were very, very happy. And the second thing, Glenda, you were right on last Sunday when I told you about my pending move from Kentucky back to Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I had not felt at all comfortable with talking with cousins that I have there about this idea. However, last Monday night, I was standing up and something literally, I guess it was the power of God is all I can say. That about knocked me off my feet, and I had this movie shown right in front of my face. And I sat down, and I went, okay, I know to pay attention. Let me process what's just happened. And I literally saw the whole progression and the steps I needed to take in order to talk with these cousins that are some of the last remaining family members I have. And they all have welcomed me, and I actually am going to be very needed. There are people in the family that are not well. I'm going to be able to help with. There's some traveling plans they're doing, dogs to be taken care of,
yeah.
All kinds of things.
Great.
So I will be leaving Kentucky April 11th. And so this whole plan for where I'm going to go.
That's great.
Thank you.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me a bit. When we listen, he talks. Sometimes he talks, and then we have to listen, which was
well. That sure happened to me tonight.
Yeah.
But either way
it goes, it works.
Yes.
It's so nice when it's so cool.
Exactly.
Well, that was the remarkable thing because it was like the way was laid out and all I had to do was follow it and make a lot of phone calls and talk and wait about 3 or 4 days and boom, it was all planned and ready and so the way has very easily been shown me and I feel great purpose in going and I will have a place to stay temporarily while I look for a job and a place to live on my own. So it's going to be great.
Great. Oh, yeah. All right. Well, you're cooking with gas now.
Absolutely. And thank you again, Glenda and Nancy, for all that you do and for providing this time of Christ's blessing. I'm very grateful.
Yeah.
Much love.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Vicki, for sharing that good news. That's good news. So thank you.
Yes, it is. Blessings have been answered. Questions have been answered.
Yeah, on many fronts. So I'm glad to hear it all.
Thank you.
Okay. That's wonderful. Our next caller is Caroline. Hi.
Hi, Nancy. Hi.
Hi,
Glenda.
How are you?
Hi. I'm doing well, and I've got three different things I want to just mention today. First of all, I'm very grateful. I just found out yesterday that I've been wanting to have a larger audience to share my message about how to cope with breast cancer and to talk about the comedy self-help book I wrote that Glenda, you so very kindly gave me a wonderful endorsement for, My Wild Ride, How to Thrive After Breast Cancer and Infidelity. I'm going to be on Sherry Tenpenny's live TV show tomorrow evening Eastern Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. And it's going to be a large audience that I'll be talking to, and I would like a blessing that Jeshua helps me say the stuff that resonates and that really helps the most people in my message about how to deal with breast cancer. So that's the very first one, and I'm very grateful that that he's got me to the point where I can actually be on that show, which is wonderful.
That's huge, Caroline. Sherry Tenpenny? Wow.
That is great. So, moving on and upward. And
yes.
Jesse, setting you up.
Well, yeah. And so I'm very grateful, and I hope that I would like a blessing for, that I help the most people with what I say tomorrow. And then the next thing is a very dear friend of mine, Andy Hawansky, had an accident, and he's seriously damaged his foot. I don't know whether it's his ankle or his foot, but he's in need of some blessings for a speedy healing. And he's a wonderful man. He's a very spiritual guy. He's a strong believer in Jesus, and I want to put out a desire for us to give him a blessing for a speedy recovery.
What is his name?
Andy Hawansky.
Andy Hawansky.
Andy Hawansky. And then the final blessing is, it looks like we have a chemical Chernobyl going on the East Coast there in Ohio. And
yes.
Those people really need a lot of help, a lot of blessings. It doesn't seem like they're getting the assistance they need. We're sending billions to Ukraine, but it doesn't seem like much has gone to these people who are basically not really safe living in their homes over there, being told to shower with bottled water. I mean, showering with bottled water, unbelievable. So they really need a lot of help from above to get through this very difficult situation. Mm-hmm. And the toxic cloud is affecting a huge swathe of the states around there. So they really need our blessing.
Absolutely. And mm-hmm. We have been, a number of us in the blessing group have been doing daily blessings for them. So we will continue. And everybody, put your heart on them, and it will help to anchor these blessings, because love is what gets things done. Love is the power. And, that's why I think we need to be supporting everything that isn't quite right to get it better, while at the same time looking for good news to offer as well. We need to balance, keep a balance in there at all times. This is what the apostles had to learn to do, because life wasn't easy for them. And along the way, there was a lot. You can just imagine in those days with Roman dominance and tyranny, how much bad news there could have been. But they spoke the good news, and it was the mm-hmm. good news that took people to a higher level, to where the bad news was almost irrelevant. So let's mm-hmm. offer the blessing, and at the same time, let's keep the spirits up.
Yeah, it's like walking a tightrope between the light and the dark.
Yes, it is, very much.
Yeah, it seems like, it feels like now, Glenda, like everyone's been oriented in fear, but it's when we face God and orient in love, it really does change a lot. It changes everything.
You don't. No, it's all rooted in love. We are, well, I will just interject a little bit of news. about what's coming, offering from spiritists for this spring. It's all in the shaping up stage. I don't have dates to offer you yet, but we are going to definitely offer an online video blessing seminar for all of our ordained blessing givers so that we can all come on the same page. It's really needed in our world today for us to be focused. The basics of what we're doing are the same now as they were 12 years ago. The basics have not changed. But over the years, we have learned how to focus more on the positive side of the blessing, lifting it up and relieving the pressure that comes along with the negative side of the problem. And we've learned how to refine the application. We've learned how to refine our words, our thoughts, our intentions. And I want us all to be on the same page, because even though I look for a little break from some of this extreme negativity in the next few months, it's not all over. It will be coming back, because we are in some of the darkest days that we will face until the light comes back to the world. And it's primarily gone right now, and we are walking in a fog. Most people do not know where they're going. And when something like this train accident and devastation of chemicals happens, we don't know where to go, don't know what to do. And our leaders are so confused about what their responsibility is. They just fly off to other countries instead of handling the responsibility. And I'll just attribute that, my friends, to confusion right now, because I'm not going to make judgments about people on a character level. But I will pass on observations about the climate of the world. And I'm not talking about winter, spring, summer, fall. I'm talking about the spiritual climate. It's foggy. It's confused. There's a lot of submerged conflict that every now and then, due to some cataclysmic event, then erupts as violent conflict. And we've got to find our way above that. So we're going to put all of our efforts as blessing givers on lifting up this climate of suppressed conflict that erupts into bold conflict. And it's all really the same, because the suppressed conflict is causing just as much damage as the erupted conflict. We think it's more horrible when we see the fire, but where you see smoke, there's already fire, and it's smoky. That's the way I would describe it, is our whole planet right now is smoky, and people are disoriented. They're going to places they don't know why they're going or where they're going, and finding themselves lost and looking for how to get back home. They get back to what they thought was home, and home isn't there. So that's what I mean by it's smoky, and we're disoriented. But in your heart, you're not disoriented. Getting back to your heart, getting back, this is where you really need to know that love is who you are, because we have been so conditioned to think that love is what you do, that love is your recipient of goodwill and good behavior. Love is who you are, and it helps you to locate your space wherever you are in connection with your Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, and the overall spirit of love that's always here, always, my friends, because love created the universe. Love was here before light. Light is actually the second element. Love is the first element. And the zero source, the source that has no numerical value, is God. So the the source in no time or space, no numerical measurement at all, is God the Creator. Emerging from that is love, and from that there is light. So there was no participation. I want to tell you this, just, you know, I keep going back to the book of Genesis because there's so much power there. But there was no participation in creation of this universe until God said, let there be light. At that moment, he invoked help, helpers, and the bringer of light, whose name was Lucifer, lit things up. The scientists call that the Big Bang. There may be other ways of describing it and understanding it when our wisdom and knowledge is higher. But for the time being, we can go with that because it's convenient to at least find certain points of agreement with the scientific picture. And it looks like that is a point of agreement. But something preceded that. And what preceded that was God and love. And there were no other participants in that, just God and love. When God created us in his image, he created us as the love that we are. You see how that parenthesis works? So you being the love that you are, going within, looking from within yourself, within your heart, that's where your gyroscope is. That's where your compass is. And you actually do have a compass inside your heart. And it will direct you to where you need to be and what you need to do to get to where you need to be, what you need to do to reach the people who need you. So we're going to blessing givers, we're coming together. We're going to work on that. We're going to really move that into tight precision, form, and understanding. And we'll just keep giving the rest of you messages that we know you have the power to understand. And you have the power to activate in your life directly. So, and then there's going to be a seminar following that, which is possibly going to be the most powerful seminar ever directed, ever produced. And it's for giving you the wealth of knowledge, the power of spirit, and the harvest of your life to literally lift your life above all of the problems and take a few thousand people with each one of you or more. It's going to be extremely powerful. I'll tell you the name of it now, but I'm not going to tell you about the power of it. You can start guessing yourself. The name of the seminar is The Harvest of Love. The Harvest of Love. And it's powerful. Yeshua is writing every page of it, every single page of it, like love without end. And that will come after, the second set will come after our blessing givers course. We'll come first. And I will post dates for the blessing course as soon as Tim can finish coaching me on video, Zoom, and that I've got it down pat to where it's easy and I can make it easy for everybody else because I don't like complicated things that then add complexity to the simplicity of great messages. So as soon as I get that down, I've been a slow learner on that. I'm sorry about that, but, you know, we've all got our pace on certain things. Now we're going to get back to our community, and we have more people on our call. So, Nancy, take over again.
Okay, I sure will. Exciting about that news, so we'll look forward to reading about that. I have Nancy, your line is open.
Hello, y'all. How are you doing?
Hey, y'all.
I'm good.
We still haven't heard about my sister Laura. She's the one that they took out stuff from her brain, and they haven't quite told us what it is yet. So she's doing okay, but they took something out of her brain, and we don't know what it is. And then I have a cousin who is going through prostate cancer for the second time. He's going in for radiology, or anyway, they're going to, they're working on him. So blessings on him. I got the strangest little message this morning, and it was saying, if Jesus came to your door and came knocking on your door, would you welcome him in? And I go, well, that's a stupid question, because he lives here. Why would he be knocking?
Oh, that's a great reply.
So,
I love
well,
that.
They only said yes or no, and I'm kind of going, how divisive, you're just trying to divide everybody.
That's right. You know, they're assuming that he lives somewhere else.
I was like, no, you know, he wouldn't be knocking. If anything, he'd just open the door and go, yoo-hoo. So, hopefully yoo-hoo, you know, so that, I know, but every now and then he just likes to sneak in. Anyway, just wanted to, you know, keep my sister on your blessing call and also on your blessing list, and also my cousin, Jim Conway, if you would.
Sure. We've got him.
Thank you.
We've got all y'all. All y'all are here.
All y'all. Okay. Just keep us all on you on the list.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you.
Great to hear your voice. Glenda, we have Christopher. Hi.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Glenda and Nancy. Hey. Oh, well, first I want to celebrate. Thanks again for last week. You shared and really supported me with the questions I was bringing. And that I really feel like I received a lot this week around that. I was talking last week about letting go of a relationship, and you talked about being able to love someone and know when the time is complete and able to let them go. And I think I learned a lot this week. First, you know, I feel like what you said about the negative and positive aspects of the blessing, I had to first see what was there and why I had to let it go, which was painful. And then the flip side was I realized it's time to really focus on how great my life is and put my attention here on the blessings that I already have rather than worrying about what I was tangled up in and what I was losing. So I just want to give thanks and celebrate that.
Well done, Christopher.
Well, I have to thank you all and Yeshua very much, because I know he was right in there. So,
oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Okay.
And then I also mentioned our friend Samantha, who's been coming on the call. Her mother, they found out she had stage 4 cancer, and this last week they were deciding if they were going to do a medically assisted suicide, or however they call that, euthanasia. And as I prayed about it, I felt such, you know, sadness in my heart and fear around that. And I was praying and asking blessings. And then we found out that she was passing naturally. And according to Samantha, her passing was as beautiful as they could have ever imagined, which is incredible. And also she asked me this morning if I could ask for a blessing for her, because as you know, she's now managing a lot of different details around the memorial service.
Oh, yeah.
And cremation and you know, also how do you deal with your own grief in the midst of all that? It's so difficult to do both. So a blessing for Samantha and her whole family.
I know, I've been there.
I know, me too. Yeah.
Yeah, very difficult. And, well, it's just part of the responsibilities of love. And sometimes, just like you realized last week, love is part of letting go gracefully. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of ways we let go in this life. There's very few things in this world that do not have an expiration date. very few things. The only things that don't, well, love doesn't have an expiration date. Things of the spirit do not have an expiration date. But almost everything that requires, well, shall we say, support and infrastructure connections with the material universe, it has an expiration date, because everything in the material universe does. And so learning to let go with grace is the other side of love. We think that love is just the grace and the bliss and the joy of connecting, and how wonderful it is to find a new friend, a new love, a new, or have meet a new acquaintance in your family or a new neighbor. Oh, it's so great to have a new love companion in your life. So great, especially if it's a little kid. Oh my gosh, it's the treasure of love. And we just think that love is on the is on just that side. But the grace of letting go without letting go of the love. It's hard. It's hard to get used to. But it's an essential part of life. And one of the things that taught me this years and years ago, it was actually it wasn't before I was with Yeshua, because I learned about it online. I think it was, it was on Facebook. The parents of a little girl who was dying of, I believe it was leukemia, I'm not sure. It was some form of cancer, but it was terminal. And they set up a Facebook page for her, because one of her dreams in life was to go around the world. And so they were finding friends for her around the world who could share pictures of where they lived and show her pictures of what they ate and their pets and dolls that they had, you know. So they allowed her to go around the world on the Facebook page. I thought that was so charming. I really kept up with it because I was in love with that little girl. But what was so moving was in her last day. She knew, because she accepted about 2 weeks before her parents did, that the expiration date was coming soon. It was coming soon. And she began to prepare her mom and dad and tell her mom and dad that she was going, but I will always love you. And I don't want you to be sad the rest of your life, because I came here for a purpose. And my purpose will soon be over. But you and I will meet in heaven. She was helping her parents. And that was the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. And I thought, yeah, that is such a perfect illustration of letting go with love.
Mm. Wow.
Beautiful.
it really truly was, and she was a gorgeous little girl. I mean, she just had it. She looked like an angel, and she probably already was 3/4 angel. So I just thought that was a nice story to contribute, because it gives an uplifting touch to what we all will go through with almost assuredly our parents, and long ago probably our grandparents, and hopefully none of you with your children, but you may have to go through with it with people around your own age, which is what's happening to me now. You know, it was really, really hard for me to let go of Tony McGettigan. And now it's interesting. Last week, I was going through my library, still unpacking books here, and I came across Tony's book. Tony published a book in 1995, and he wrote, he wrote a message to me in the book about which pages for me to look, how he had received similar messages from Yeshua in the same time and he knew that he was being guided to meet me. And I read that book, and I thought, I've got to call Tony's wife and see if she can still get copies of that book for me, because I'd love to sell them in our store. So, yeah, I just, you know, and that's an example of how you don't let go of things that don't end. But in the physical, there, unfortunately, there is an expiration date, and we have to prepare for that. And, you know, Yeshua tried and tried to prepare the apostles for it, and they wouldn't accept it. They said, well, you're Lord of Life. You can do whatever you want. And, you know, they come up with other answers. And of course, Judas thought he should just take over the Roman army and conquer the world that way. And then he'd never have to leave. So we can come up with some pretty silly answers sometimes. But really, the answer is everything in the physical goes through a cycle and of birth and decay. Everything in the physical does. And the things of God never do. They never do. And they're very palpable. And I think, my personal thought, is I think we're going to start seeing more of that, so that we're actually beginning to see evidence of heaven on earth, like the harvest of love that has been planted for eons is going to begin taking material shape, but material shape in a form that never decays, that never goes through the fall of structure. Because let's face it, we're not going to like it if all the structure falls and we don't have something else, if we don't have something, another place to live. And I think that the formation of this replacement is in the works right now, where we're going to begin seeing evidence of the rebirth of that which is immortal.
Mm.
I agree, Glenda.
Wow.
Bring it on. Yay.
Bring it on as soon as possible. That's what we're going to talk about in our seminar. And,
yeah, that's what our attention needs to be, you know, our attention and our intention, seeing that, because it seems, I love that, the biblical quote, you know, the eyes to see and the ears to hear. Answers come when our attention and our intention is focused on love and the very things you're talking about. So, thank you.
I think we've got something great to look forward to. I really do. Great. And we're going to be surprised to see our loved ones reappear on this earth.
Wow.
I don't believe it's going to happen.
Well, thank you, Christopher. We have lots more callers. Are you complete?
Well, just amazing, really. Thank you, Glenda. And, you know, thanks for helping to make the connection, because, you know, even though I study and I speak about grief and I do grief counseling and I tell people there's a process of grieving that happens when you lose an old identity, not just person to dying, but your own self dying or your own self concept of reality, and how important it is to grieve that. And it's funny that even though I teach that or I speak about that, it didn't really occur to me until you just spoke that connection between me letting go of a loved one in the physical, you know, like actually transitioning out of a relationship while maintaining the love, is so similar to when someone actually dies. You just helped me see the connection. So thank you for that. And also the sense of hope for what's to come when you realize that in the letting go, there's something that hasn't died that's right here. The life and the living that's right here. The beauty of what's right here. That's kind of, it feels like you're eternal when you focus on that. You keep dying and being reborn.
Yes. And that becomes the seed that you create on to harvest love in the future.
Mm.
Okay, more in the future, Christopher. We need to take some other people on our call.
Thank you, Christopher. Wonderful. Well, we have Brad. Welcome to the call.
Well, hello. Thank you, Nancy. I don't believe I've ever met you, but I hear your voice every week, so I sort of know you. And hello, Glenda, and everyone else. Glenda, I have three things, so try to keep me brief if I get off track. The first one, when you mentioned, I'm not going to partake in the blessing refresher. I don't have a computer. But the second seminar you're talking about, I'm just going to throw my hope out there. I hope that one is going to be like one of the old webinars. Oh, that's awesome. I'm looking forward to that. That sounded so exciting the way you described that. My second thing is I think about Desmond every week. I don't think about him during the week necessarily, but every blessing call, Desmond pops into my mind, and I don't even know what I'm asking, but I just want to talk about Desmond for a minute. He was, to me, he was larger than life. I mean, in his own way, and he had a childlike beauty and innocence to him, and I just miss him, and I regret he and I connected, but I regret that I didn't. I'm kind of a loner by nature. I regret that I didn't cement a stronger friendship while I had the chance. It just didn't occur to me that, you know, larger than life people, you think they're just going to keep going on and on, and you know, that opportunity is kind of gone. But I think of him every week, and I think February was about the time, you know, you were talking about Tony, and you know, that just made me think about Desmond. And
I think about him too. And he's here. Yeah. He comes, he joins the blessing. I feel him.
Oh, that's awesome.
I feel him every Sunday. I do.
I love that.
And Tony too. I feel Tony.
Awesome. Tony was very kind to me as well. I had never met him, but he did some of those other calls, I think, when, and I don't even know if they still happen, when you had, like, the midweek prayer calls, and
yeah.
I think he moderated
yeah.
those.
He
was very, very kind to me. And even almost right up to the end, I had no idea what his situation was. And he just was a trooper.
I know he was. I mean, he was carrying on responsibilities up to about 1 week before he let it go.
Oh, I know. And then that next blessing call, I might have missed the next one. I'm there almost every week. But then if I wasn't there, I was there the following one. And when I heard the news, I was like, wow, that just came to me. It came out of nowhere since, you know, like you said, he had been partaking up till the very end. Okay, I don't mean to talk too long.
He gave so much to this community. And
yes,
gonna,
yes.
I'm if his wife can still get books, we're gonna keep Tony alive in our community because the inspiration he had really explains so much of the quality of life and wisdom and manner that he had.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great man. Is not what.
Well, he is very special.
And I have a personal need. I had mentioned to you before, I'm having trouble with the work culture of the job that I'm at now. I've been there almost a year, and for the most part, it's virtually the same. What's different is that the boss has been gone for 2 months. I'm the assistant manager, but basically I've been acting manager for 2 months. I don't want to go on and on that, but I have an interview on Tuesday to be assistant manager at another store. I really don't know anything about the store. You know, it's with the same company, Virginia ABC. I do know the district manager. The district manager brings a very joyful, happy energy when she does interviews. So I feel like perhaps I'll shine like I sometimes can in an interview. And you always say, pray, don't pray from the problem. So I don't want to be like, God, deliver me from this awful job that I'm struggling through. Every day is purgatory. You know, I just want to visualize that I have the new place, challenge, or the new position, challenges or not, that I'm happy and willing to meet them. And I need help with that attitude when I pray.
Okay. Yes. Yes. And it's a lesson we all need to learn, that some people have it pretty well down, but we all can polish up that ability. And it's like,
yes.
I'll use your case as an example. Okay. God, thank you. Our Heavenly Father. Actually, Yeshua brought to us a whole new concept of a personal relationship with God.
Yes.
All other religions, including his own Jewish religion, approached God as a deity who was somewhat removed. And you should not touch or come near. He brought the concept of Father, because he was again referring to the book of Genesis, where we were created as children. So why not honor who you are? And even on the cross, he said, Abba, Abba. Abba means Father. Abba. And actually, Abba is the colloquial, familiar form of Father, which really meant, Daddy, Daddy, why have you left me? Okay?
Yeah.
He was close to his Father, and he helped us to be close, which is why he exalted the children, because they gave examples to us of what it's like to actually be a child and crawl up into the lap of our Daddy. Okay, so I'm going to just use that form. Father, thank you for giving me a challenge that I could deal with and learn from, and I'm ready for the next one. Can you help me up the next rung on the ladder?
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
That's what daddies do.
You
they
always
help
speak
your
so
kids
beautifully,
with their
Glenda.
Challenges. Hmm?
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes. You're welcome.
All right.
Thank you, Brad.
Thank you both.
We'll be praying for you. Okay?
Thank you, thank you.
Seeing you in that new office chair.
All right. Thanks.
Okay.
We're so glad you called. Okay, Glenda, we have Stephen. Hi.
Hi, this is Wendy.
Oh, it's not me. Okay, it's Wendy this time. Hi, Wendy.
And you're getting Wendy today, yeah. So I'm hi, Glenda. Yeah. I'm just listening to you and feeling very peaceful from what you've been talking about, Glenda. Thank you. I'm calling because I do have a medical condition that I just learned about, and I'm feeling very inspired and grateful in a way, because I feel connected to God, my daddy in heaven, and
yes.
His work in me. And but I do have a I do colonoscopies regularly because I get polyps, and one of them came back and it's become cancer, so I have to have a further operation. So just there's a waiting list here in Montreal because of COVID of 3 months. So just trying to get through it all with my heart and my head and my love for myself and for God and for all the people that care for me. Yeah.
Absolutely. And we're count us among all the people who care for you.
Thank you, Glenda. Yeah, I care for you too deeply, and so grateful for this wonderful books that you've passed to us through Yeshua that are very much part of Stephen and my life now. Thank you.
You're so welcome. We love you, and God loves you. And
thank
just
you.
Sleep in Daddy's arms, okay?
I will. Thank you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for calling, Wendy. God bless you. Okay. We have Susan. Your line is open. Welcome.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
We can.
Hi, Susan.
Okay, good.
We hear you
good.
Perfectly.
Hi. So a few things I want to say. It's been coming up that, you know, my mind goes, you know, when it comes to, there's a part of my mind that wants to judge, and I say, nothing's black and white, Susan. I kind of want to, you know, look at that. I said, there's so much gray in between, you know. And when I want to think about people and kind of like look at them in a certain way in a judgmental way, I said, well, Susan, even the finest has their dark side, and those who are have a lot of darkness have their beauty. So just, you know, understand this. I have to remind myself of this a lot. But I also want to say that there were things you were talking about, and Nancy kind of like summed them up. So I was envisioning a gift box with a bow, you know, tied in a ribbon. You know, that's a beautiful thing to be able to do. You know, what's happened, there would be a time I'd be able to say, this is what she said, and so forth. But these days I'm like, huh? Because there was a lot said anyway, but, you know, my memory is not quite as sharp as it used to be. But I want to thank her for that. And also, when Glenda was talking a while back about we are the love, you know, we are the love. And so we're all, you know, we were created in God's image. An interesting thing happened. I went to my eye doctor, which he said at this point, I go once a year. And I had a partial a corneal replacement, and he's looking in my right eye, and he happens to say, oh, my goodness, look, there's a stamp of your cornea. And I went, what? You know? He says, no, your cornea has a stamp. You know, in other words, that belongs only to you. And so when you were talking, Glenda, and so many times you'd say, you are known even by each hair on your body, you know. And then I think, wow, even the cornea, and part of that cornea belongs to somebody else. But, you know, the cornea has my stamp. I wasn't even going to say anything. A lot of times
right.
That happens to me. But I'm just going to listen, you know. And I went, nah, you got to share that. I said, okay, you know. So I just thought that was interesting that he said that. And I just want Glenn to know I got my oil. So just, you know,
oh,
I did send back a little message.
Yeah,
I got
your email
oil.
That you
– yeah.
And
yeah.
Sorry, it's so long. I don't know why, but the mail is just
fine.
Not as efficient as it once was.
That's
but
fine. I've
we
got
hope it'll
it.
Get
just
there.
Just to let you know that. Yeah.
Okay, great.
So, I want to thank everybody for all that you do. I'm coming up for another cancer follow-up next week. You know, the only thing I can think of is that my blood pressure, but that's always been an issue. Everything I'm taking has been a godsend, what they give me to keep every, you know, to keep things where they need to be with regard to my leukemia. I'd like that to continue. And I'm just praying that, you know, that my blood pressure, by the time I go in there, be okay. And so that I can keep on doing what I'm doing. So that's about it. But bless, and I often think of, you know, Desmond and certainly of Tony.
Mm-hmm.
So in my heart, wrapped up with Stormy. You know, there was a lot of bonding in that those times during COVID when we spoke so regularly. And so it just reminds me I need to call Judy, and which I will do. And there's so much love. It's just an unbelievable amount of love for all of you. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you. We love you too.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know, and we wish nothing but heaven for you on earth.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
and
you,
Susan, you know, thank you for reminding us about judgment because, you know, everybody deals with that at some level. So thank you for sharing that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Well, we love you. We have another caller. we have Anne. Hi.
Hello, Anne.
Anne, is your line?
Unmute your line, Anne.
I think you might be there. No, oops. Let me try it again. Are you there, Anne? Can you hear us?
Can you hear me now?
We can.
Hello? Yay. Hello. Oh, I'm so glad. Hi. Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't expect you guys to. I called in about 20 minutes too, so I'm really grateful to be able to ask for a blessing. I'm going through a little bit of a rough time. My mother and I have called in the past about my mother and I moving in together, buying a house and moving in together, and it's not really working out very well. We just don't seem to see eye to eye, and I think her being her is kind of diametrically opposite of what I need. And so I guess I'm just asking for, I can accept that she and me just won't see eye to eye, and I guess I'm just praying that we can find a way to either find a way to live happily together, although I don't think that's going to work because she doesn't want to continue with therapy together. So I guess I'm praying for some peace between us and a better living or better separate living arrangements for us. So thank you.
That may be the way to go, Anne, and be willing to accept whatever is best for both of you. I think that the spirit of acceptance goes a long way to resolving conflicts. And in my decades of living on this earth, one of the things I find constantly present when persistent conflict is there. I'm not talking about a momentary argument, but persistent conflict is when two or more people feel tied together, but they don't get along. It's like they don't have a choice to be somewhere else. They are either tied together by marriage, by being siblings, by being mother, daughter, son, father, that sort of thing, brother, brother, sister, sister. You're tied together, and it's not always family. Could be friends, could be long-term friends that share so many memories and share so many social connections and share so much experience in life. You can't imagine life without the other, but now you just don't see eye to eye on things. So you fight because you want it to be the way it used to be. And you want there to be a reason that's positive for why you're tied together. And we get back to our earlier discussion about an expiration date. The fact is, everything that is of the world, only things of the world, but other things of the world, they do have an expiration date. And that can even include sister, sister. It could include parent and children. Not that you're going to stop loving, not that you're going to stop caring and being there for them when they need you, but you've realized that sharing life on a daily basis is over because the level of compatibility is no longer there. And we really, really do need to be compatible with the ones we share life with. We do. And that level of compatibility is what creates the true family feeling. When you're truly compatible with someone, you feel like you are a sister. If there's a generational difference, you feel you are a mother or a son or whatever. If you're working together, you feel you are partners in that situation, even though financially you're not partners, but you feel the partnership because you're so compatible. And this gets back, ultimately, to the love that's latent in everything in the universe. There's your love, there's that person's love, but there's also love latent in everything in the universe. And that love has a song, it has a rhythm, it has a harmony. And when you're pulled into that harmony with another person, pardon me, it's like being in love again. It really is. And when you're out of that harmony, you say, well, what's wrong with me or what's wrong with them? Maybe nothing's wrong with them. Maybe nothing's wrong with you. You're out of harmony with the love that originally brought you together. That love that brought you together has traveled somewhere else. I'm hoping you'll see that there's a third person involved in so many, many things we go through. And that third person could be the yoke that binds us. And we can't be bound with someone we don't get along with. Or it could be the harmony of the universe has gone on to other places, and now it wants to write a new script for you and a new script for her. And that happens. It happens often. I think about something Christopher said about you have to let go of identities and times in your life that you leave behind. I began to grieve about leaving my childhood by the time I was 16 years old. And sometimes I would just cry for an hour at the end of the day when I would see my mom in the kitchen cooking, see my dad coming in from taking care of the property outside, and see my horses in the pasture. I was grieving, and I grieved for 2 years after I left, and it took me a while to realize what it was. But it was important because the harmony that made my childhood work so beautifully was going into another place. And it was pretty easy for me to see. About a year after I left home, it was in college, my mom and dad reconnected with their two older children who were, 12 and 14 years older than me, that they had virtually, I wouldn't say abandoned, because they stayed in touch with them and they cared for the grandkids that came along, but they didn't have the close relationship with them that they did when they were kids. And they reconnected in a very close way with my older brother and sister, who were just taken right back in the family. And it was easy for me to see that the flow of harmony needed to return there, because they needed some love and I needed to get on with my life. And, you know, it was a beautiful thing to see once I really realized what was happening. I'm still grieving for Sedona. I'm telling you, the harmony of that place and the harmony of my being, it's like we were two lovers dancing on a dance floor. I loved that place. It brought up so much in me. And I've never got used to the South Coast, and then was the victim of a hurricane there. But I reconciled it. And then, of course, Larry passed on while we were there. It was not a place of harmony for my spirit and my being. And I really didn't want to come back to North Texas because I remembered the days I grieved in leaving. But coming back here has been one of the best things that's happened to me, and probably the only thing that could have cured my sense of loss with Sedona, because I love being back with my roots now. And, of course, there's no conflict whatsoever. I'm the only one left in my core family. So I'm the candle in my family now, and it feels wonderful. So things can go in cycles, and that's what I want to encourage you to believe, is things do go in cycles. And when we go into the down cycle, we cry. It's hard, and it's hard to get used to. But you just keep going. Just keep going, and you'll find your stride in a new harmony. Look for the harmony that you belong in. Think of yourself as a dancer in the universe. Where can I go and dance? Where can I go and be in the flow? Where can I light a candle and the wind won't blow it out? You know, where can I make a meal and friends will want to come and join with me? That's what I'm talking about. You've got to find your flow, your harmony. And when it doesn't exist in one place, move on. That's what the disciples did. They would go and start a church in one place, and they would have great excitement, and they would feel a sense of completion. But they knew that that church had to form its own harmony within itself, and so they would move on. But they would stay in touch with that church by letter, by messenger. And that's how we got a lot of the Gospels, because those Gospels were compiled from letters that Paul wrote to the churches, or other of the apostles wrote to the churches. And so we have to move on, guys. We do. But move on in harmony. Move on in grace. That's been the theme of our call today. And the theme of, you know, how we can actually deal with this fog that's so prevalent in the world. And if you'll just call it fog that results in confusion, that prevents you from making judgments that you'll be regretting in the future. Don't make judgments. Just, it is a fog. I mean, that's an existential situation. You can, I don't think you would find anybody alive in this world that wouldn't agree that we've got a fog going on completely around the planet. And some people deal with it differently than others. Some people go into their little corner and they hibernate. And that's fine. Some people work at home because they don't want to go out and they feel the traffic is not really safe. Other people get competitive and they can't see where they're going, and so things don't turn out so well. Other people go to war because they think, hey, if we just fight hard enough, we'll fight our way through it, and we get a chance to say, well, how's that working for you? You know, but there is a fog. There's a great fog going on. Why? Why? Because we have all ended so many cycles of life at the same time. Mostly, if you look back through the years of your life, we were blessed to end cycles of life in staggered positions with our friends, our family, social configurations, technological changes, and so forth. Things happen in enough of a staggered pattern that we could deal with one, and then, okay, we deal with another, and then, okay, we deal with another. So many things are coming to an end of cycle all at the same time. It's like the exhaust fumes are hard to get through. They're hard to see through. Okay, what takes you through the dark night? What takes you through the fog? Faith. That is the definition of faith. Faith is what carries you forward when you can't see the road you're traveling on. So your faith has to be strong. Okay, it starts with faith in yourself. Faith in your connection to God. He loves you as a father loves a child. You're not just some other thing that was created. And in Yeshua's teaching to those who would listen when he was walking on the earth, he tried to make this relevant by saying, hey, you guys, he knows every sparrow that falls. He can count every hair on your head. So why are you worried that he doesn't know all about you? And they would say, well, yeah, well, why doesn't he fix it? Well, because he didn't create the problems in the world. And you have to deal with your problems, and you have to come strong in your faith. That's your part of the job. That's what Job had to do. Job, if you're worried about, if you want an example, read the book of Job. Horrible, horrible he went through. But he had to regain his faith in himself. He couldn't do it at the altar by lighting candles or giving money to the poor or even giving forgiveness or gaining forgiveness or all of these rituals we go through, because rituals don't do it. Rituals are actions we do in the world. Even if they're good, they're still things we do in the world. The only thing that gets you through the fog, you got to get back to yourself. You got to get back to God. You've got to restore your faith. And when that happens, everything blooms again, because your life was created from one single heart cell. That's right. Your whole body and then your life started with one single heart cell. And that's true. And getting back to what Susan said about her cornea having a stamp on it that was uniquely yours. Well, our anthropologist and paleontologist and archaeologist in their search for the origins of man. And I'm not talking about Darwin versus the apes. And no, I'm talking about human beings. Human beings all the way back to the first human. They actually can trace now the direction every human tribe traveled, because every tribe had its identity. They know exactly where every tribe traveled, when, where, and probably for what reason. And not only that, this will blow your mind. They have taken it back to one original mother who was the mother of every single human being. That's science. That's not Genesis, my friends. That's science. That's hardcore science, by tracing the mitochondria. Now, how could they do that and know that she was the one? Because that's where all of the DNA signatory imprints led, and it all culminated in her. It couldn't have gone any. There was no change possible prior to her. It all began with one mother. I think I'll tell this again on Mother's Day. Might be a good gift to the world. And some of you may know this, but I thought it was a good thing to bring up again, because if our mother of long ago could be identified by a signatory imprint, you better believe you've got one too. You're unique. You are unique. And your daddy loves you. Let's leave it at that. I think all of our callers have been answered. Nancy, how are we doing on the board?
We just have one more caller. Thank you, Ann. We have Ken.
Okay, Ken.
You
want to
wrap up with Ken? Okay, Ken, welcome. Your line is open.
Oh, thank you so much. This has been a really great conversation we've been hearing, and I just kind of wanted to throw in two quick little things. First is a blessing for all of the people that haven't found their pace, their faith, and to help them go through sometimes what I feel is a lot of pain to get to that point where they can understand their faith. And to recapture it. I see that around a lot, and I just want to give a call out to all those folks that we may know and we may not know and we may not ever know, but they're still there and they still deserve to have our attention on them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yes.
And the second thing was basically just a question, and it was, to find out if your blessing giving seminar would be, you'd consider opening up to other people that have not necessarily had the blessing giver training formally.
I'm sorry, but we can't, because there is a hands-on initiation that has to be part of it. And the energy that is there in the room that brings us together is essential for that to happen. The reason, first of all, there are two reasons why it has to be that way. One is because I do not form the congregation. The Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit has called everyone there and anoints everyone and initiates everyone, not me. And the other reason for it is that I do not want the protocol of the blessing service to be perpetuated in the world by people who don't understand the importance of that, because it simply cannot be. It simply cannot be, because it will be combined with other things that are not worthy of it. It will be competed with. Those who are initiated understand the rarity of their knowledge. And we're going to be giving more blessing seminars. So don't worry. You're not left out. You will be called, and I'm sure you already are called, or you wouldn't have asked the question. But this is going to be a little more technically oriented, and it needs to be with people who've already had the calling.
I understand. Thank you. And
okay.
Back to you, Glenda.
And I look forward to seeing you at a future blessing seminar.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And when the world opens up to travel being a little safer and connections being a little more fruitful, shall we say, It's possible I can travel and we can have blessing seminars in other places, which can cut down on the cost for all of you traveling. Because I know that is a very big factor, and I'm very sorry about that. This unfortunately caught me at a time in my life where I had physical and health challenges, as well as the world having even worse challenges. And we'll get through it. We'll be on the other side, and who knows? I'm shooting to live 200 years.
Yay! Yay!
So
I look forward to that, too.
We got lots of room to grow. And now we need to get into our blessing for the day. Okay, everybody?
Thank you, folks.
Well,
bye-bye.
We've got Eva. Eva, if you can ask for a blessing in 1 minute, we'll take a call.
Yeah, I'll be quick. I just got on a call a little bit ago, and I had more problems again, and I would like a blessing because I really want this to go away, and I would like to live quite a bit longer yet, too. But sometimes I get worried the therapist couldn't do my therapy because my blood pressure was over 200, and it keeps doing that. So blessings, and hoping that this will eventually pass, because I need it to pass.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And we need it to pass for you. We love you.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Sometimes I just wonder if it will. And I know I have
to
trust,
that's so. Where the problem comes in, Eva.
Yeah, because I don't know what's good. What should I do? You know, what should I do when it's like this?
Huddle up in your dad's arms.
Yeah.
And breathe deep.
I had a friend here who was just singing to me in a special song that came to her while she was doing some energy work on me. And it was about the shepherd and the shepherd holding you in his arms. So thank you.
Oh, that's great. Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, right.
Okay, let's go there.
Okay. Yes.
Thank you, Eva.
Okay. And
thank you.
And the prayer breath actually helps, Eva, because it
What's
helps
that?
You to make all of the flow in your body. And that's what I want everybody to do now. I want you to take a minute, everybody, stretch out. You've probably been sitting. So the first thing you need to do is stretch your legs out. Just stick them out and rotate your foot and lift your leg a little bit up, and then rotate your leg a little bit after you've rotated your foot, and stand up now. And then you move your leg a little out to the side if you can, and the other one out to the side if you can. Okay, and twist your torso a little to the right, a little to the left, because this flexes your hips and your spine. Don't do it past the point where it's a strain. Just loosen up. And now swing your shoulders a little bit, swing your shoulders, and move your arm in a pinwheel, and just let them swing around, right arm, left arm. And now you turn your neck and your head, and when you do that, don't turn your hips. Try to just turn your head and your neck independently, and push your shoulders back upon your spine so you really are opening your chest. That's a good one. That's a good one. Take a very deep breath this time just to expand your diaphragm, and then blow it out in your through your mouth. Now, sit back down or lie down, whatever position you're going to be receiving your blessing in. Just get comfortable. There's no pose that works better than any other pose, except don't cross any arm or leg, because there's an energetic flow, and we do not want that energy to cross lines. Okay, so just sit. You could even stand, I suppose, but you might get so limp you could lose your balance. So I really don't recommend that, not unless you're standing on a waterbed. I don't really recommend that either. But you know, come to think of it, that could really, really energize this flow. Maybe I stumbled on something there, but I'm not going to do that. So. What I want you to do is start your four square breath, and you will exhale to the count of four. Pause to the count of four. Inhale to the count of four. And now receive to the count of four. Exhale to the count of four and fully release. Now, inhale to the count of four and receive. Continue that as I offer my prayer to Yeshua. Divine Brother, Lord of Life, Son of God, we come to be in your presence, to sit at your feet, to walk with you. To just be in your glory. To see your light, your radiance. And to know that you are the perfect representation of a child of God. We ask that you be with us now. In all of our questions, in all of our requests, inquiries, that we may be open to receive all the blessings that are given to us by the Holy Spirit. We ask that you be with those who know not to ask, or would not think of asking at this moment. We ask that you be with the people in Ohio who are struggling with this horrible field of contamination, that you give them faith and courage and purify the air within their body that they may expel the toxins without harm. We ask for help in helping them rebuild their homes and their life. We especially ask for the children that had to go through that, that this shall not be a continual nightmare for the rest of their life. We ask your help around the world to bring in peace, tolerance, understanding, and acceptance, that we can walk through this fog and still find our way from the candle within that was lit at our birth by our Father. We thank you for coming to be with us, to help us walk this path more fully with knowledge of who we are. You know all the needs of our life. And you know the greater potential of our life above and beyond all of these requirements. Help us to release our spirit of neediness, that we may open to the fullness of abundance and the greater harvest of our life. We ask all of this in your divine and holy name. Amen. Blessing givers, will you join me now in offering the blessing? Amen. Amen. And amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, you need to continue receiving. So I want you to lie down. Even if you were not lying down during the blessing, lie down now. I want you to be flat on a bed or on a sofa. And no thoughts, no words. Don't even continue your prayer. You are receiving. You're a whiteboard that your Father's going to write upon. And the Holy Spirit may add some extra comments as well. Let your body receive by not moving, other than maybe shift your body, but don't, no movements, no activity. Let your body receive as if it were sleeping. And it's okay if you go to sleep. Just receive. I wish you a wonderful week, and I look forward to being with you again next week. Bye-bye for now.